Welcome to the Senate Education and Workforce Committee. I'm going to talk fast. We have to finish up no later than 2 o'clock. I'd like to get done 5 minutes to 2 because Senator Starr and I have to depart on a van at 2 o'clock to Pendleton.
That's exciting.
I don't have my big belt buckle, but I have something that looks like cowboy boots. Okay. I'm excited about going to Pendleton. It's a beautiful city. What we are going to do first, because Senator Deckert's going to show up at 1:30, we're going to take Senate Bill 768. Oh, actually, we could do the other one. We don't need Senator Deckert. Okay, let's roll them out. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 48. Actually, a work session.
Get your mind out of
here. I'm glad I have a committee administrator.
We can adjust.
Yeah, all right, you can adjust. Okay, take it away.
Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 48, you last heard on the 24th of January. This is one of the TSPC bills that removes the statutory time period that American Indian Languages teaching licenses are valid. At that time, we heard that they want to change their 3-year licenses to 5-year licenses. And what happened during the interim was that there was going to be a discussion on Senate Bill 48 along with a discussion on Senate Bill 52. The people who had that discussion decided that no amendments were needed for Senate Bill 48. However, they did propose amendments, which you'll hear about in a minute, for Senate Bill 52.
Okay. So I'm looking at my notes here for 48. Everyone, it was a housekeeping bill, and there was just that one question raised that you talked about, and everybody's happy now. Members, how do you feel about it? You all happy? Okay. Then I would entertain a motion from
Chair.
My chair.
I move Senate Bill 48 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 48 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none? That bill's out of here. And who would like to carry that bill? Volunteers. Everybody gets a bill today, so take your choice. Senator Starr, thank you for standing up. And close the work session. Oh, I already did that, right?
Yeah,
I did. Close the work session on Senate Bill 48. Whoa, man, we're smoking. Senate Bill 52, I'll open a work session. Marjorie.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 52 is also from the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. The printed bill repeals provisions allowing the suspension of licensing of teachers who resigned without giving 60 days notice. However, again, that little group of people discussed an amendment, which is the Dash One Amendment that is in your packet. It replaces the original bill and allows the TSPC to conduct hearings rather than the Office of Administrative Hearings, and those hearings are for license suspensions related to teachers who don't give the 60 days notice. And I believe Vicki Fleming is in the back if you have any. Oh, not Vicki Fleming. Too many Vickies. Vicki Chamberlain.
That was last night.
I know. Okay. Anyway, it's here if you have any questions about that.
I think, Senator Morissette, wasn't it you that had a question about that, Bill? If I remember right.
I already carried a bill, something like that. It was, instead of a fine, it was a reprimand. Different bill.
Okay.
I didn't have a question about it.
Okay. Well, I had a question in my notes that you thought Senate Bill 48 should be modified also, and obviously that didn't need to be modified. So if you're happy, is everyone happy with these amendments? I like the way people work things out. Senator Starr, you have a question?
A comment. I think that this is a good amendment. I think it's a necessary tool. I think that some departures might be so egregious that suspension is in order, and granting that as a possible measure is, I think, important that we do that. And so I'm going to be supporting both the amendment and the bill.
Okay. Great. If you want to make a motion, then anyone else that has comment about it can do that.
Chair, I move the Dash One Amendment to Senate Bill 52.
Senator Starr moves the Dash One Amendments to Senate Bill 52. Any discussion? I agree with you, Senator. These are good amendments. Hearing none, Dash One Amendments are approved. Senator Starr, do you have another motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 52 as amended to the floor with a DPAS recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 52 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a DPAS recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, that bill's out of here. Who would like to carry that? Senator Morissette?
No, Senator Starr.
Yeah.
I want to carry the 364.
Okay.
Yeah.
Senator Starr. Okay, Senator Starr, I'm happy to have you do that. I had too many bills on my plate today on the floor. Okay, we're going to open a work session, or we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill. I like banging this thing on Senate Bill 52. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 38.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 38 was last heard on the 23rd of February. At that time, Senator Morse proposed the Dash 1 Amendment, which is what we heard at that time, and this bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we were holding this bill so that we could prepare amendments for the next bill, Senate Bill 364, which also goes to Ways and Means. There was some issue about funding.
Yes, I recall that, Ms. Taylor, that we had some questions about where the money was coming from and whether the other bill should have had a better nexus to that, if you recall, colleagues. But they all worked out their differences, and I think they want them both in Ways and Means to tinker with. Yes, Senator Morissette? Nope. Change your mind? Okay. Then Senator Starr, you have a motion for me?
I do, Madam Chair. I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 38.
Okay. Senator Starr moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 38. Any discussion?
Yes, I could not have supported the original bill as written, but with the Dash 1 amendments, I am supportive of the measure. And so I would, Madam Chair, move Senate Bill 38 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm sure that Senator Starr meant to make that motion after you approved the Dash 1 amendments.
Oh.
Yes, probably so. I think so. Any objection to the Dash 1 amendments? Okay, and Senator Starr, you're right. I didn't want to schedule the bill because I didn't like it in the way it was drafted either. So when I got assurances that it was going to be changed, I had a different vision. And I'm glad that we've got this bill and we can move it down there. So Dash 1 has been approved. Now do you have a second motion?
Yes. Now that I can properly do so, I will move the Senate Bill 38 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a DPAS recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 38 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Any objection? Okay, that bill's out of here, and there is no carrier, and we close the work session. We will open a work session on Senate Bill 364.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 364, as printed, creates the Workforce Task Force to examine career and technical education in grades 7 through 12 and higher education. At our last hearing on the 23rd, we heard the Dash 1 Amendment, which was proposed by Representative Scott's office, which would include the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House as making appointments to the Workforce Task Force. And Representative Scott's office also wanted consideration, instead of looking at the QEM, QEC financial issues, that they would look at funds available and how they could be used to promote technical education. At that time, we also heard from the university system that they wanted the chancellor to be involved in appointing members to the task force, and there was also an amendment that the majority of the members of the task force present would be required to, would be able to make official actions. So the Dash 3 amendment combines all these possible issues into one, and it's the Dash 3 amendment that Senator Schrader is hoping we'll move forward.
Okay.
And again, this goes to Ways and Means.
All right. So the Dash 1s are off the table. There are no Dash 2s that we've seen, and all we have is the Dash 3.
That is
Senator
correct.
Starr.
Well, I not reviewed these dietary amendments, but I think we've had an appropriate description of their effect by our committee administrator, and so I will move the dietary amendments to Senate Bill 364.
Thank you. And Ms. Taylor, you did get these amendments to everyone's office?
Madam Chair, no, I did not. I got them to Senator Morissette and Senator Cruz, anticipating that they might not be able to see them before we actually discuss them.
I see. Okay, okay, that's fine. Senator Starr moves the dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 364. Any discussion? Hearing none, sounds like we like those amendments, so we'll approve those. Senator Starr, you have another motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 364 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 364 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on that motion? Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I voted for the previous bill, and I will vote for this one because there's only three voting members here, and I think it's appropriate that they go there. Just want to register some concern. The creation of task forces, I have concerns with that, and I'm sure that issue will be addressed in Ways and Means, whether it's appropriate or not. On the previous bill, when I'm looking at the body of work that the department's doing now, hopefully we aren't creating something that gets in their way. Hopefully it does not. Because they're kind of redefining their whole system currently. And these could be positive. I hope they're taken in the Ways and Means Subcommittee and in the greater context of everything that's on the table.
Thank you, Senator, for those comments, and I truly appreciate them. And as you know, I serve on that committee. And as you also know, I have concerns about task forces, though I have to be guilty, and I introduced one this session as well.
Madam Chair, I don't like them, and I've created some myself. So,
yeah. Yes, I think you did, if I recall correctly. So I will assure you that we will give this due consideration, complete consideration in the context of all the efforts we have there, and I make that commitment to you. All right. No further discussion. I believe that bill, as amended, can go to Ways and Means. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 364. We will now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 768. We are just cooking right along. Who do we have? If you've signed up to testify or haven't, please do so now. We'll get that sign-up sheet. And I forgot to give my usual admonition that if you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn on vibrate. If it goes off during the committee, I'll ask you to make a contribution to the Common School Fund.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 768 modifies the applicability of the provision to permit a parent receiving TANF funds to attend educational institutions as allowable work activities without federal waivers or federal law changes. This is related to House Bill 2450, which was approved last session.
Okay.
In your packet, you also have written testimony from the Oregon Community College Association. Mm-hmm. They won't be able to attend the meeting.
Okay.
They wanted to submit their written testimony.
Okay, great. Ms. Cowling, why don't you introduce yourself, please?
Sure, thank you. Chair Walker and members of the Senate Education and Workforce Committee, for the record, my name is Morgan Cowling, and I'm the Legislative Director of the Oregon Student Association. The Oregon Student Association, which represents over 100,000 students in the Oregon University System, Lane Community College, and Oregon Health and Science University, supports Senate Bill 768, the removal of the federal waiver requirement for the implementation of the Parents as Scholars option for the temporary aid for needy families recipients. First, I would like to remind you of the background surrounding this issue. Last year, last session, House Bill 2450, the Parents as Scholars Bill, passed unanimously in the House and the Senate and was signed into law by the governor. However, the lack of federal waiver and the bill's requirement to have one has delayed the implementation of this important option for TANF recipients. The Parents of Scholars Bill would have allowed 1% of Oregon's temporary aid for needy families recipients to use education to fulfill their work requirements. This option would be just another tool that the Department of Human Services would have available to move Oregonians off public assistance permanently. Jobs requiring an associate's degree have the fastest percentage of employment growth. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as educational attainment increases, employment rates decrease and median weekly wages increase. In 2003, Section 4 was included in House Bill 2450 to align the state legislation to the reauthorization of the national TANF legislation. After 2 long years and numerous continuing resolutions, TANF has still not been reauthorized. Oregon needs to act now and remove the last impediment to the implementation of this important program or option. Thank you for your time and attention to this important issue.
Thank you, Ms. Cowling. Why didn't we get the waiver?
Chair Walker, all of the waivers have expired across the country, and Senator Wyden worked hard to try and extend Oregon's waiver. He did receive a letter from the Secretary of Health and Human Services that would allow Oregon to continue operating some of its TANF programs as if it had a federal waiver. So there was an attempt to extend the waiver, but when TANF came up for reauthorization, all of the waivers across the country expired.
I see. So there was not, this wasn't caused by our own Department of Human Services?
Chair Walker, no.
Okay. I was ready to jump if that was the case. I think this bill is going to take care of that waiver problem. We should be able to implement this program now.
Chair Walker, that is my understanding.
Which, in Ms. Cowling, this bill passed the legislature by a significant margin, did it not?
Chair Walker, that is correct.
So it had pretty good support. Any questions? All right, thank you, Ms. Cowling. I appreciate it. Call up the Department of Human Services, Marge Reinhart. And then I've got three people that I'll call up after that who are left on the list.
Could you come down and get us? Because there's hardly anybody here in the committee that can't conduct business either.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Morissette and Senator Cruz we're borrowing them from another committee they're supposed to be in right now because we don't normally meet at this hour. So they're stepping in and out to meet with their other committee so they have a quorum. So I just want to let you know that.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
All right.
Chair Walker and now member of the committee. For the record, my name is Marge Reinhart. I am the administrator for the Office for Self-Sufficiency Programs within Department of Human Services. And one of the programs that I'm responsible for is temporary assistance for needy families. And I am pleased that Ms. Cowling was able to deflect. I can explain maybe a little bit more about the waiver if you have other questions on that. I'm here though today to talk with you about 768. The department from a policy perspective is supportive of 768, known as the Parents of Scholars. It is, as Ms. Cowling mentioned, it is the likelihood of clients who have 2-year and 4-year degrees moving into higher wage jobs is intuitive as well as established. And so from that perspective, we are supportive of the concept of Parents as Scholars. The department isn't able to support the bill for we have concerns about it for two reasons, and for that reason, we have a neutral position on the bill. I won't go through any of the other background regarding the bill except to make a couple of clarifications regarding the waiver. We are continuing. We do hope that TANF will be reauthorized in this Congress, and we are operating using, it's a rather complicated formula, but the formula that the federal government allows us to use is how we are able to continue to operate a waiver-like program in the absence of waivers. So we're able to meet our participation rates. And the reason I mention that is because that will be one of our concerns that I'll get to in a moment. The state of Maine has operated a Parents as Scholars program, and it does show the positive results that that both Ms. Cowling and I mentioned in terms of the impacts on clients. But getting to the couple of concerns that we have, first of all, the Parents as Scholars as a piece of the TANF program is not in the governor's recommended budget, and it does have a fairly significant fiscal impact for us. And I'll kind of describe that to you briefly. The Parents as Scholars would be limited to 1% of the TANF population in the state, which for Oregon is slightly under 200 cases. It's around 190 now, 190 at this point, and could vary a bit, but it would be limited to 1% of the population. Most TANF clients stay on assistance for a year or less, and so by definition, Parents as Scholars clients would stay on 2 to 4 times as long. The fiscal impact of that over the duration is about $4 million, and so if the assumption is that people are evenly split in a 2- and 4-year program, that would be about $2 million per biennium in terms of a fiscal impact.
$2 million?
Each biennium, assuming that those splits on it. So that, you know, as we all know, is a fairly significant issue. The other piece that's tied to that is that as with our scarcity of resources, what we would do if we were to adopt Parents as Scholars and spend that money, we would be diverting it from clients with other sorts of barriers to employment and with things such as alcohol and drug treatment or other kinds of initiatives that help families to be ready to seek employment could be impacted by the shift of funds to support people who were attaining 2- and 4-year degrees. So that is of some significance to us, and we felt we needed to share it with the committee. The other piece, which Ms. Cowling mentioned as well, is the TANF reauthorization and the participation rates. At this point, we do expect hopes that TANF will be reauthorized in this session. We have seen a bill come out of Senate Finance, which, as you probably know, we are well represented in Oregon on the Senate Finance Committee, and that bill does include both a Parents as Scholars provision as well as some of the flexibility that Oregon has operated on under with our waiver. So that is encouraging, but the sort of uncertainty around what the ultimate TANF reauthorization will look like causes us concern. Much of the focus around reauthorization has been on work-attached activities, and those would be the only things that would count toward our showing the federal government that we met what we were supposed to do and were able to retain our money. So if we weren't able to count people who were in school as a part of the people who were successfully participating, we would run the risk of lowering the amount of people or the amount of participation hours that we have. Now, again, that is uncertain because we don't know what TANF reauthorization will look like, but it needs to be a concern that we felt we needed to share with the committee.
Ms. Reinhart, was there a fiscal on the TANF bill last session?
I'm sorry?
Was there a fiscal on this bill last session?
Yes.
There. Okay, I'm seeing Ms. Cowling shaking her head no.
Well, my understanding was that there was. Yeah.
Senator Cruz?
Okay, all this bill does is remove the need for a waiver.
That's true.
And so if it's an acceptable use within the reauthorization, it just allows you to do it without having to go for such a waiver to do it. So all this bill does is give you more flexibility to move that direction. Is that correct?
Chair Walker and Senator Cruz, that is correct. And the if in there about whether it is allowable under reauthorization is the big if as far as that
goes. Well, and I understand that, Madam Chair, but I guess clearly if it's going to jeopardize the funding, then you're going to have a conversation with the feds on that. I don't think this is designed to do that. I think this just gives you flexibility inside the existing TANF program if it doesn't need to be waived. So I guess whether it's in the governor's budget or not, the program's in law now, and so all this is doing is giving the program more flexibility.
That's a good point, Senator Cruz. I'd also like to let the committee know and folks out here, Ms. Taylor gave me a copy of House Bill 2450's fiscal statement, and it says the fiscal impact would be dependent on the additional time an eligible parent would remain in the caseload in excess of the current 24-month limit. But general fund dollars would be necessary only if the state's overall TANF costs exceeded the capped federal funding level. So, Ms. Reinhart, can you respond to that?
Chair Walker, I can. I may need to get back to you with the specific dollar amounts, but we have utilized all of the federal TANF money. And we are utilizing all of that now. So anything that we add to the TANF and jobs program is general funds. We have used the TANF block grant is capped. And
well,
we
I understand that, but you knew that you had this bill from last session and that you were to fund it, and you chose not to fund it because you didn't get the waiver, correct?
That's yes, because okay. of the status of the waiver, yes.
Right, okay. So the money was there, and it was supposed to be used for this, but it couldn't be because of the waiver, so it was spent on other things. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have been spent on this program if the waiver had been in place. Okay. Yes, and Senator Starr has a question. I'll let
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I guess I'm under the impression that if the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Resources chose to direct TANF funds to a specific purpose, they could, couldn't they? Direct TANF funds to a specific purpose, they could.
The
Ways and Means Subcommittee.
I believe, Chair Walker and Senator Cruz, I believe that's true.
Okay.
You would be the experts on that, I guess.
Senator Starr?
Yes, I just wanted to be clear in my own mind. What I understood you to say was that if we implement Parents of Scholars program, what it means, if we only have a finite number of dollars, that means that you're shifting dollars from potential users of the funds to a specific use of the funds, which is Parents of Scholars. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair Walker and Senator Starr, that there is finite federal funds, and there is a governor's recommended budget with finite state funds as well that do not currently include Parents as Scholars. So, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Ms. Reinhart. Appreciate your
Thank
testimony.
You.
Ms. Kelling, I'll bring you up at the end. I want to hear from you again. First of all, though, I want to finish up with these three folks, Sarah Merton, Scott Liu, and Tina Kotek. Start in, please, so we can get this committee.
Chair Walker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sarah Merton, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Food Bank and its statewide network of 20 regional food banks, asking your support of Senate Bill 768. This bill just makes a technical amendment, as you've heard, to a bill that passed this body unanimously, the legislature unanimously, 2 years ago. I wanted to just explain a little bit about some of the previous discussion. I have a couple of other pieces of information to add. I think it's important to note that when we passed this bill 2 years ago, we were in a very different political climate. We thought that TANF reauthorization was imminent and or our federal waivers would be renewed for our Oregon option program. It has now become quite clear that Congress will not be renewing any of the federal TANF waivers, and we have been waiting for 2 years for TANF reauthorization to occur, and it has not yet come to fruition, although Marge Reinhart is right, it may be very soon. We believe that in light of this reality that the best course of action to take would be to take advantage of the flexibility allowed under the federal welfare law and utilize our state maintenance of effort dollars or our state welfare match to implement this program. This is an approach that's been used by other states, and Oregon would then come in line with the over 40 states that offer access to post-secondary education for their TANF clients. I wanted to respond directly to some of the assumptions that were in the department's testimony. First of all, there is a reference in here to the length of stay, and I think their assumption is that this program would cost more than a typical jobs case, because they're making the assumption that people are going to stay on the caseload for much longer periods of time. When we have looked at the data from the state of Maine, who has been operating a Parents and Scholars program for about 6 or 7 years, they found that the average length of stay is 17 months on the Parents and Scholars program. And the information that I received just 2.5 weeks ago from the department was that the current average length of stay, which does involve some coming on and off the caseload, currently stands at 20 months. So this would actually be less than that. I think the other important thing to consider is, while our department has been very effective at moving people off of welfare and into jobs, frequently these are low-wage jobs. And while people may be off of welfare, they're certainly not out of poverty. The majority of people that leave TANF rely on subsidized child care through our employment-related daycare program. They rely on the Oregon Health Plan. They rely on food stamps, and oftentimes even rely on our emergency food box system. We believe that, and evidence has shown, that access to post-secondary education is a life-changing, life-altering kind of thing, wherein people are going to obtain the skills necessary to move into employment that are going to be at higher-wage jobs and often with benefits associated. And we believe that this is a change and an opportunity that allows welfare clients to become self-reliant. The last thing I want to address was the federally uncertainty and potential negative impact on the state's participation rate. I think it's important for you all to realize that even if there were no changes to federal law, there is the option for 30% of the federal TANA, or our caseload, to participate in post-secondary education activities and still be counted towards our state's work participation rate. The state of Oregon and our Department of Human Services has chosen to, well, let me back up a second. In federal law, it makes reference to allowing 12 months of vocational education for up to 30% of the caseload. Almost every other state in the country has defined vocational education in the broadest sense to encapture almost all kinds of post-secondary education. Our department has defined that very narrowly and does not consider post-secondary education to be vocational education. So even if there were no changes in federal law, we actually could do this program. So in sum, I just want to say that we believe that this is really in line with the governor's priority of making post-secondary education more accessible, that we believe that this is a really important option that we could allow TANF participants to have access to post-secondary education, to get into higher wage jobs, and to transition out of poverty and to become self-sufficient. So it's a very important thing, and we urge your action and support. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Mr. Liu?
Chairman Walker and members of the Senate Education and Workforce Committee, my name is Scott Liu, and I am the co-chair of the Oregon Students of Color Coalition. The Oregon Students of Color Coalition, which works to eliminate barriers to post-secondary education for Oregon's communities of color, supports Senate Bill 768, the removal of the federal waiver requirement for the implementation of the Parents and Scholars option for temporary aid for needy family recipients. For low-income parents struggling daily to make ends meet, a post-secondary education represents the proverbial bootstrap, a method of pulling themselves and their children out of the cycle of poverty and gaining self-sufficiency. Without the option of higher education, a welfare recipient is highly unlikely to secure a job that pays a living wage. According to welfare reform, the jobs aren't there. A study done by the Preamble Institute in 1997, the odds against a typical welfare recipient landing such a job are approximately 97-1. We also know from other studies that the positive effects of a post-secondary education are felt for generations. Children of college graduates are much less likely to live in poverty. The poverty rates for children whose parents did not attend college or attended but did not graduate increased by more than 75% from 1975 to 1997. The Oregon Students of Color Coalition encourages you to vote for Senate Bill 768 and allow this important option for welfare recipients to finally be implemented. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Liu. Any questions?
Good afternoon, Chair Walker, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Tina Kotek, Policy Director with Children First for Oregon. In the interest of time, I'll keep this brief. You have my testimony. We support Senate Bill 768 because we believe that we need to support the stability and economic security of our families. This is an option within the TANF program. Easy to call it a program. We have the program that's TANF. This is an option. It's a tool in the toolbox for the state to serve a variety of clients who come into the TANF system. And while I understand the department's concern about the hard-to-serve clients, we believe that the small number of parents who could take advantage of this option are an important population to address because they will permanently get off of welfare with this option. This is about education and opportunity, and we believe the state should continue to be innovative in their welfare program and take advantage of this option. So we heartily support this bill. We supported the bill last session. We just need to get this going. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I think all three of you. I got a note that Ellen Lowe would like to comment for 30 seconds. So if you want to step back. And Ellen, we're really looking forward to hearing from you because we're ready to move this puppy.
I'm excited to hear Ellen.
In 30 seconds.
That's what I'm excited about. Is.
Ellen Lowe in 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's
Does that really happen?
Oh, Chair Walker and members of the committee, I'm Ellen Lowe, and I'm wearing my Oregon Law Center hat. And what I wanted to respond to was the information from the department that mentioned that this would be diverting services from those who require mental health and addiction services. And as Senator Cruz is well aware, TANF clients do qualify for Oregon Health Plan Plus, and they do have mental health and addiction services. And so I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Good point. Thank you.
Very good point. Thank you. Ms. Kelly, I offered to have you come up and just respond briefly. Do you have any parting shots?
Chair Walker and members of the committee, I think Sarah Merton from the food bank spoke eloquently about the reasons in the different side to DHS's argument. Okay. So I don't have any further comments unless there are additional questions for me.
No, I think the committee is disposed to want to move this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're good to go. I'm closing a public hearing on this bill. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 768.
I move Senate Bill 768 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 768 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Do I have some comments by the committee? Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was at a conference in Kansas City several years ago and heard about states who were doing very innovative things with TANF dollars and I wondered why we weren't and have been looking for that for a period of time, especially when we look at, for example, the nursing shortage we have in the state and the fact that we could use dollars to give scholarships to women who could become nurses and have good family wage jobs out of the program. And I think something like this is an incredible step forward for us, and I think the results are going to be incredibly positive. I fully support this.
Any further comments? Senator Cruz, you're right, and this bill was passed unanimously by both chambers last session. It just didn't get implemented. The department used the money for other purposes. That's not my problem. it was there and it was used, and they couldn't use it for this program. I can't imagine the governor wouldn't support this, even though it's not in his recommended budget. That doesn't matter to me because we already passed the bill, and this program is so helpful to people on state assistance to get them moving and making the contributions to society that they want to make. And I think it's a darn good bill, and there's no other objection for passing this bill because there was a motion made, correct?
Yes.
Got off on my tangent here. So there we go. Senate Bill 768 is flying to the floor. And Senator Morissette, you had dibs on this bill earlier.
I'm very happy to take it.
You asked if you could do that. So you'll carry that. And colleagues, we're done. I'm very proud of you. We're adjourned. We'll see you next week.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.